You have your Bibles with you, take and open up to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Tried to confuse myself with all my bookmarks in here. John chapter 4. In this message, I am going to reference several scriptures. I have them marked where I can turn to them. I would encourage you, if you're fast enough and want to turn, that's great. But I encourage you to write them down, and at your leisure, then go back and review them with the context of the message this morning. The message is titled, In Spirit and Truth. And, you know, today we have a lot that is presented to us. And I oftentimes hear people talk about, I really just don't know what to believe. I can't tell who's telling the truth. My reply always is, there's one truth, and that is God Himself, and it's in the Bible. If it's written, it's true. If it says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it says it ain't going to happen, it ain't going to happen. It's that simple. But when we come before our Lord in this service or in your prayer time or in any gathering or anything than which you're doing, we come before the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we'll see why. And that is scriptural about why God wants it that way. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 22, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. John chapter 4 is when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And all that goes through a very familiar story, but this is at the end of his encounter with her. And he speaks to her in the following. He has already, she has gone and told everyone about how all that he has told her in these things. And he comes back with these words beginning in verse 22. He says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. Here's the meat. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. You may be seated. So in this text, Jesus is talking about what has been the old covenant, that salvation was to the Jews because they were God's chosen people. But then in 23, he changes that, and he says that the hour is coming and is now here with his presence, God in full flesh with man. And he says, in order to worship the Father, we must worship in spirit and in truth. And 24 continues, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So what is that to worship in spirit and in truth? We oftentimes see a lot of gatherings of people, of believers, and you hear them come from certain events that have been held and all, and they talk about, oh, the music was so good, it was just full of spirit and liveliness. Wished we could do this all the time. We hear at Christmas, man, if we could just keep the spirit of Christmas going all the time. What is it about that spirit? What makes that come? I've often told you that God that we serve is a God of the heart. A lot of times our worship is about the cerebral. It's about head knowledge, not the heart knowledge. We talked that about salvation, right? But worship is also the same way. We're blessed here that every service we have different folks that come and provide the music. I will tell you, on some occasions I have heard, well, I probably won't be here next Sunday. I really don't care for who's singing. And I've told them, and I'll tell you straight up front, if you come to this church because of who's singing or who's preaching, you're not coming to worship. That ain't what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about who sings up here. It's not about who brings food or who doesn't bring food. It's not about who you sit next to or don't sit next to or anybody else that shows up. Worship is about Him. And that's as it should be. Notice the first part of this, when Jesus is telling her, He says, you do not know who you worship. A lot of truth in that today. People worship a lot of different things. Anything we put before God is what we worship. Some people worship money. Some people worship power. Some people worship pornographic. Some people worship drugs. Some people worship sports. Some people worship gambling. Some people worship whatever. Always don't like it when I hear a spouse say, I worship my spouse. Because you know what? Anything you put in front of God, you just told Him it's disposable. For His word says, I will be no other gods before me. Not your children, not your spouse. Hymn number one. Then you can love your spouse appropriately. Then you can love your children appropriately. Then you can get along with your co-workers. Then your business will flourish. Don't worship your business. Worship the Lord. Business is a gift from Him, an opportunity to make a living, but also, more importantly, an opportunity to meet folks that you otherwise would not meet. Miss Megan back there, she meets a lot of different young people that you and I will never have the opportunity to talk to. But she meets them. I'll meet people she'll never meet, and each one of you. And so when we meet them in order, it's one thing, and we were talking there a while ago, somebody made the comment about more churches, and then I think it was Herman said, well, maybe more people in the church. No, really what we have to have are more Spirit-filled churches with people who worship in spirit and in truth. If you go to this church or any other church because of the activities, wrong reason you go. You should come because of the unity and the worship of spirit and truth. Some may be thinking, watch out, Pastor, you're telling people to leave. God's the one that's in charge of that, folks. We'll move very quickly to show you some things here. In chapter 14, Jesus says it this way, John 14:6, He says the following. Again, jot those down because I'm going to move pretty quickly with this. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He's the truth. The words he speaks are the truth because he speaks about the Father. And we know that there is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, 33, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, it says the following. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and all the churches of the saints." All the different denominations we have, there is only one God that we should worship. It always amazes me how denominations get in arguments. We didn't write the book to begin with. We take twists on things. We change things. We add things. We take away things. No, God is the same God of all the churches. There are saved Christians in the Catholic, in the Church of Christ, in any one of those denominations you want to talk about, if they know Jesus Christ personally. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." So if you don't want to commingle with some of them Pentecostals or some of them Lutherans, I got news for you. In heaven, you're going to commingle with them. Okay? And there are also the unsaved in each one of those denominations, as well as cowboy churches. It's all everywhere, all the time. But he is the author. Notice he is not the author of confusion. We see that in our world every day, the confusion. I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. There's so many different stories. I've got news for you. It's because you're not listening to the right voice. And that is God's voice through his Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, Romans 5, 5, we have the following. We have already in Corinthians and in John 14, we saw that the Lord is the truth. Here in Romans 5 and verse 5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." God is love, and you and I receive that love through the Holy Spirit. See, we know that also the Word tells us that the heart, no one can know the wickedness of a heart. It's there in Proverbs. It tells us about the wickedness. Sometimes we don't understand things, and we go, "How could somebody do that?" Real simple, we have wicked hearts. We may not always verbalize it. Come on now. All of us, including me, have thought things oftentimes. And it ain't the right thing to think about. We think, well, they just are totally an idiot. And besides that, they're ugly. And they're either too fat or too skinny, or they dress funny. Look at that. Didn't even comb their hair this morning. And my goodness, look at the makeup that woman put on there. I've seen less icing on the cake than that. You know, that's where a lot of people say, "Well, I've never killed anybody, preacher." Yeah, well, take that tongue and let's see how bad it whoops somebody up. It'll slice and dice better than anything else. That's why the Bible calls it a two-edged sword. Killed a lot of people. In our thoughts and mind, and sometimes we verbalize it and we kill their spirit. See, we are all born with a spirit, that God spot that was made just for the Holy Spirit. And so we know that God is spirit. Matter of fact, you can go to Genesis 1:1. It says the following. When we talk about creation, you know, again, sometimes my imagination, but as a little kid, you know, my mother and my grandmother would read me Bible stories, and they would read about the beginning, how God created the earth. And there was always pictures there, and it's great. Pictures are a great thing. You know, I grew up being a visual kid, still a visual man. I have to be able to see it in order to comprehend it. And in Genesis, there was always, as they started about the Bible, you see as things are created, oftentimes there's a picture of God's hand coming across and separating the waters and doing those things. Many of you may have seen those same pictures. But read in reality what it actually says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. See, in the very first writings, we've got God the Father. We've already got the Spirit. And He was the one hovering over those waters. God didn't stretch forth His hand. God just spoke it. And it happened. We read later on when it creates man and He says, "Let us create." Well, "us" is plural. "Us" means there has to be more than one, right? And so what we find in John 1:1, told you I was going to skip all over the Bible. John chapter 1, we read this as the following. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who's the Word? Jesus Christ, the truth. So you see, the Spirit and the truth were with God at the very beginning. It is of God. God is love. He channels that through the Spirit because of the Word. And we learn of His love because of the Word. Because of Jesus Christ, who reconciles us. He's also the living Word, the same that we have the written Word, through the Spirit. I believe every single word in a Bible that was given to the authors, to the men to write down and pen, was from the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important that we go back to the basic text of what it is said. I'll be honest, a lot of the new translations I am not a big fan of. If they keep the original words not necessarily worded the same way, but the intent and the spirit, what it laid forth, that thought process, that's great. But I'll be real honest with you. You can read some of these new versions, and they're not even close to what it was originally talking about. So I can understand why people say, "I don't know what to believe." We use the New King James or the New American Standard because they are the most literal translations. When I chose what version to preach out of, that was my goal. I wanted the most literal translation from Hebrew and Aramaic into English. And so God Himself, Jesus Himself, was there when the world was created. Notice what it continues to say in John 1. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We just read in Genesis it was null and void. Nothing existed because there had been chaos throughout all of heaven. And yet God is not of chaos. He is of peace. He organized it and put peace on earth. Same words that were told when our Lord was born. You remember the angels? Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. God has given you a Savior. God has given you Himself in human form. Finally, also look here in 2 Corinthians that God does give us the freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. How wonderful those verses are. Also, right across a little bit, one chapter or two chapters back in chapter 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." In other words, there is freedom. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What that's saying is that you and I, when we accept Jesus Christ, what we read about in 5 here, all things are made new. We don't grasp all that is taking place, all the transformation. That is a part of time that takes place for the master crafter to work with us. He gives examples of that as being the potter, and how if the vase is marred, he takes it back and remolds it and reshapes it into the beautiful object that he's trying to create. You and I are that beautiful object. Here in verse 3, or in chapter 3, it says, "As though we are looking in a mirror from glory to glory." In other words, what God is transforming you and I to do, we have a concept that we need a Savior. We have a concept that we have failed. But that transformation takes place in spirit, in our heart. I'm often amazed at some of the people as I talk with them, and they go, "Oh yeah, I believe there's a God, and I'm trying to be good enough to go to heaven." That's head. You'll never be good enough. Swallow your pride, you're wretched, you're weak, and you're worthless. But you become valuable. When you allow Jesus Christ to come in, suddenly I get a new creation. A new creation that takes time to take that pride out of my heart and in everything I do to allow Him to put His Spirit there. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's not about you, it's about Him. You and I, literally, when we think about worship and this truth, trying to tie all these back together now for you, it's not just in a service here at church, folks. It's in everything we do. We should be worshiping Him. "Well, preacher, I got to work. I ain't got time to be bowed on my knees with my head bent down all night." That ain't worship. Worship is always allowing us to stand aside and let His Spirit mold us and make us into that image. Notice what that says at the last. He says, "Though we're looking in a mirror, that we go from glory to glory in" who? In God. He begins to mold and make it. Any of y'all had one of those do-it-yourself, DIY or whatever? I don't know where it is. You redo something. We'll put it that way. Well, the first thing that you have to do in order to redo it is you have to sand, you know, if it's a piece of furniture or wood or something you're doing, you have to sand it down. You rough it up. And then you have to peel all the old paint or stain off of it. And then once you get it sanded down and take it away, trim it back, so that the natural is there. Guess what that natural is for God? His Spirit can begin to shine through. And then He begins to mold and make it. And you begin to take that object that was old and you begin to create something. And as you see and you get that where it's smooth, then you take that real fine sandpaper and you smooth it down and you start feeling, man, that's really smooth. And then you start putting that little stain on there and you see, wow, look at the colors coming out, the grains of the wood. You see, that's, you talked about the Bible study of the fruits of the Spirit. You see those grains in that wood in you and I is like the fruits that God has given us. And He gives them liberally, Scripture says, and He gives all different ones to all of us. Paul puts it another way. He says He makes all the different parts of the body. You see, when we're worshiping here, you're an integral part. And without you, we're losing what you offer. And you miss what we offer. All of that comes together just as in that piece of wood that you see all the dark and the light grains, and even where there was a knot. Maybe there was some type of void in there. You know, one of the most prettiest pieces of wood I ever saw was one that had been struck by lightning and that tree went down. Beautiful to be able to see what it does. But it had to die, just as you and I have to die to become that beautiful piece of God's glory. And it is about His Spirit that begins to work inside of us that takes us from that glory to glory we call blessings. And He shows that to us. So we are to worship in spirit and in truth. So we've talked about His Spirit. Let's talk about the truth for just a moment before we close. The truth is, we can't lie to ourselves. Well, I'm a preacher of a church. I must be all right. Sometimes people say, I want you to pray with me because I know God listens to you. He don't listen to me anymore and He listens to you. You have a wrong assumption. You have as much access to Him as I do. And if I ain't living right, I got news for you, you got more access. Because if I'm not following His will, I put a barrier up between me and Him. That means I blocked His Spirit. Just as if you're not doing what He's asked, you're blocking the Spirit. You and I can never come closer to Him. We may do all the rituals of going to church and we have prayer and we read Scripture, but we don't give up that part of our life that He's asking us to give up. I got news for you. Our growth is stunted right there. It'll never move forward. When God says He's going to come in and clean up our house, He means He's going to find every nook and cranny. It'd be like your mama going through there inspecting, ladies, how good a housekeeper she brought up. She's going to look for the dark corners. Whoop, there's a cobweb right there. Don't tell me y'all don't look. I remember my mama, we'd go to a brand new restaurant. The first thing she looked around was see if there was any cockroaches or bugs in there because she wasn't going to eat there. I took my bride one time down to a place when we were dating. I said, you want to go have Mexican food? She said, yeah. I took her to this place down there. I could see when she pulled up. And she looked at that building because it was riddled with bullet holes, had bars on the window and everything. Hadn't had a paint job in several years. But, you know, she was in love and dumb, so she followed me in. And then when she went inside, she said, wow. I'd have never believed looking from the outside, this place is clean. Well, yeah, you think I take you to some hole to eat? And then they handed her the menu that she could not read because she wasn't knowing how to read Spanish. And I let her look at it for a little while. And then I said, baby, would you like me to order for you? Yeah. I said, it'd be the best Mexican food you've ever had. We got through that meal. She said, I'm coming back down here. No. You only come down here during the daytime and you make sure you come with me or somebody else. You don't come down here after hours. Now, I tell you that because we can look just as ratty on the outside, be that clean on the inside. And we lie to ourselves that we can come here anytime we want. Because when the darkness come, that was a whole different place to be. And you see, the same is true for you and I. When we allow just a little toenail of the devil to get in there, he'll throw that door open, and it'll be a whole different place real quick. We have to be truthful with ourselves and truthful when we talk about a pure heart and a true heart, one that says, yes, Lord, and that's not... Don't get me wrong. It's not trying to always say how bad we are. But it's acknowledging the good that we do comes through from Him through us. Because, see, we can have all of the Christian love and everything, and then we can drive in Austin, as we was talking about a while ago, and the bad side will come out of us. You could cut me off. Don't tell me y'all don't think about that. I know you do. I'm more upfront about it. I want a Gatling gun mounted on my hood. Or a minigun, so I can just blow them out of the way, right? Yeah. Because the old man's still there. It is a process every single day. Don't look back. Don't look ahead. Yield to him for today. One day at a time. That morning should start with our worship. Lord, you've given me another day. Now allow your spirit to flow through me. Sometimes my opening prayer may seem rote to you in that, Lord, we invite you here. We want your spirit here. It's not rote to me. I earnestly mean that. I want his spirit in this place. I don't care what the message is he's given me. I can't give it to you. And you can't hear it without his spirit speaking and without your spirit-filled ears listening. Otherwise, we just came. We had a little party to see everybody. It was good. It's what we do once a week. That's rote. That's ritual. It's the same when we do the church ordinances. I want it to be special.